Holding in Siman Resh Mem Vov, holding a little Siman Hey. So we discussed yesterday the case of a Poitiki, where the situation was that the Jew sells it to the Goy, then makes it into a Chayv Mamon. That's called being Zoykev into a Chayv Mamon. So now the Goy owes him the money. And then the Goy designates the behemoth as an Apoitiki. Which means, like the it says in the parentheses, here's a poite he koyan. This it stands. Klarber lo yehi l'chol poyin el mizeh. So poiteki is by saying that this is going to be the only place source of where the chayv can be collected from, the Yisrael. That's where we're at. Oh, yahara name etzloy. Now pirish. Now what is the word yahara name? Mashkin v'losh yishmol is rahan. So Yahara name is another way to say he makes it as a mashkin, which means that the goy owes the goy bought the behemoth. Okay, so now the goy owes the Jew the money for the behemoth. The goy gives a mashkin for the chayv that he owes. The mashkin being the animal that he bought, which he owes the money for. So now, by giving the mashkin to the Jew has a right to the mashkin. It means the goy can't sell it, because that's how they set it up. It's a mashkin. But it belongs to the goy, it doesn't belong to the Jew. Then the goy takes it back and works with it. So the goy is taking, essentially, his behemoth, which he's given now as a mashkin. So again, the purpose of all of this was it belongs to the goy, on the one hand. On the other hand, the goy is not empowered to sell away the behemoth, not because of a lacking in the original sale, but because there's a chayv mamon, this is the poitiki for the chayv mamon, or this is the mashkin for the chayv mamon. So that's the two way we're using hilchos chashem mishpat to create a way that the Jew has a right to the behemoth, even though he doesn't own it, either through the halacha of a poitiki, that the collection must be made from that behemoth of the chayv being the money that the goy owes to buy the behemoth. Or the Jew gets it rights to it through Mashkin, and then the goy takes it back for him. Now, Ubavad, Shlo Yermel Miachsha. By case of a Mashkin, if the goy says, if I don't pay by a certain time, this Mashkin will be yours from as of now. Well, that's the problem, because when the goy doesn't pay the money at the end, because that's what's going to happen, and the Jew takes the behemoth, retroactively, the Jew owns the behemoth Shabbos. So that's not a good idea. Okay. So that's all. We said the first approach was that the only way it's going to work if the goy has the power to sell it away. The goy doesn't have the power to sell it away, so the goy doesn't really own it. We have one sheet that says no. As long as the goy has the yikra b'zula and all chiyuvim, etc., even though he can't sell it, it's the goy's. Better. That was the first sheet. Second sheet, no. But if you can't sell it, so that's a problem. This saying, okay, well, what's the eight? So how could you get around that problem? The eight is these two different ideas. The Yesh Matirim, if Al-Yadei Sheyazor Yisrael Asi Yehni Hu Rishol Yasav HaMalacha, the Shabbos. Okay, so the Jew tells the Goy, listen, here's the deal. I'm renting this animal to you. You may not use it for Shabbos. Okay, then he says, if the Goy does use it on Shabbos, Tia Achra Yisalot, at that point in time, the Goy will... his status of being a regular circle will change, and he'll get all the krayas on the animal, which means over here even yukar b'zula, right? Oitzim and yukar and zula. So again, that's back to this first opinion. We said if you have if the goy is makabel achrayas for Misa, Gedela, Geneva, Yukar, and Zula, and Noitzim, and everything like that, that's called belongs to the goy, like we saw before in Siftal. So we're going to go to that approach. Right, so that's saying, this is a Yesh material. So that's what Mishabura pointed out in Siftal. The Rambam said Ayin Lamata. The Ayin Lamata was, you see in the next sieve that the Shulchan Aruch seems to bring the sheet without bringing the Chulkin. And you need to record this in their courts. So this way, it's going to be a public thing, and people will realize that this is serious over here. The hashe in bo lasses b'malacha b'shabbes ena behemes Yisrael shrei kenoa ena yehudi liskay b'onaseh. As soon as the goy works with it, it belongs to the goy. So meila, okay, fine. Zatim remor b'chol study heter study heterim elu hilchus aninu yochol lasses ezem en shiyirza. All these approaches work. Whatever one you want, you do. Fill me hamish kulo shal yisrael dina kilo ha yisrael b'shutus ha'im yehudi rashi farsim shasa derech etter. The only issue here we have over here is the marasayim. So you need to publicize it. Now the case of shulchan aruch we're talking about is the case of the reshutvim. We created all these shutvim in a scenario of, excuse me, create all this heterim in a scenario of shutfis. But the Rambam is pointing out that these things would work even if it wasn't a shutfis to start with. It belonged to solely to the Jew, and the Jew is now arranging with the goy that the goy is going to buy it, etc. Or any one of these approaches would work. And the only problem is the marasayin, so we need to find some way to publicize, otherwise you're going to have a problem of marasayin. Fine. Zog the mishaburish. Sif katan chavetz. So the first approach was, when you become shutfin, was to set up the arrangement that on the day of Shabbos it belongs only to the goy, and a corresponding day during the week it belongs only to the Jew, and then the other days of the week they're shutfin. So they're really not really shutfin on Shabbos. Betchila kishakan chavetz. The arrangement is that the goy owns it on Shabbos and not the Jew. It's just not the Jew's behemoth. Now let's say they take the animal and they work with the animal, right? And they produce money by working with the animal. They rent the animal out, whatever it is. So if the goy subsequently decides to share the profits from Saturday with the Jew, that's his business. The Jew can't pressure him, like we said over there. The Jew pressures him, on Tuesday, I didn't make so much money. You made a lot of money on Shabbos, expecting something. That's also, that's Machloikas over there when the Mishnah came out with Chumra. Why is it Machloikas? Because by saying that, what you're really saying is, it wasn't really a division, because really, it's really that the goy owns it on Shabbos, so what's your makom for a claim? Saying, it's not fair. Why is it not fair? It belongs to the goy. He's using his animal. There's a goy down the street using an animal. There's a different goy down the street using the goy's animal. She says, it's not fair. Like, what's your time of that? You have no shaykhs to the guy. So this goy on Shabbos has no shaykhs to you. So the fact that you're asking for it would be problematic. But as long as you're not asking for it, the goy chooses to do it himself. That's his business. V'gam da'oz ha'filim mi'echray shneim b'shabu k'olim ha'sashua b'ein b'chol b'ein b'shabbos. Mutter. The Achrayas Shneim Shabbos Mekoyim Tashua Bein Bechol Bein Shabbos Mutter. I remember that. One second. What was that about? I'm trying to think something through. Please don't interrupt me, okay? I am not seeing what the Mishnah is referring. He didn't have a case over there of Achrayas. How came Achrayas for Shabbos, Bishavah, and belongs to the Goyan Shabbos? I don't know what he means.
What?
Okay. Chav Gimel. Bimloi his mitzchilas. If they made that arrangement mitzchilas, everything is wonderful. So the Jew doesn't own it on Shabbos. So then the goy is working with the goy's own animal on Shabbos. The Jew has no shaykhus to it, no problem.
The Jew doesn't
want him
on Shabbos?
Own it. Bimloi his mitzchilas. If, however, at the original Shutvis, they did not make this tonight, which means all the days of the week it belongs to both of them equally. Now, after they became shutman, he said, you know what? So he says, listen, let's make an arrangement that on Shabbos, you'll take all of the usage of the prophets, and I'll take one of the days of the week corresponding to the day of Shabbos. Okay. So how does this work? Does this work? We have two ways of understanding. When Shutvin owns something with Shutvis, and then at some point in time, only one of the Shutvin is using it. They make the arrangement that on Tuesdays you use it, and Wednesdays I use it. Not the Mishabbos. So is the Pshat that the Breira, as it were, says that when he's using it on Tuesday, it belongs solely to him, and then on Wednesday it belongs solely to him? Or no, it belongs to both of them, and Shutav A is allowing Shutav B to use it on Tuesday. Shutav B is using allowing Shutav A to use it on Wednesday. So is that the Pshat? So that's, he's saying, whatever you say. So if you say like that, that it belongs to both all days, so then there's a Shvi'is Behemtoi issue. Even if you say not like that, that by dividing up the days, what you're really saying is, listen, you get all ownership on this day, and I get all ownership on that day, you still have a problem with Schar Shabbos. The guy is taking his animal, which he has a right to, and doing work with it. You can't stop him. Come on, come on, sir. I'm sorry, he's saying a different point. He's saying that even if it would not belong to the Jew, it would belong to the Jew still. The Jew has no way to stop the guy from working with it. But by arranging with the guy, the guy is going to allow you to have a day in return. Then it comes out, it's Schar Shabbos. Right? He's paying you for using your half on Shabbos by giving you a day for free. Okay. So if they didn't make the time at Tchila, it's going to be a problem, even though they made it tonight afterwards. So if they make this arrangement later on, it's a problem. If they don't make any arrangement at all, it's for sure a problem. That's the language sounds like. In other words, even though you're making this potentially better solution of making the Tanai afterwards, it's not good enough. But you make no Tanai afterwards, for sure it's no good. However, So the Beis Yosef isn't like this. Let's go back otherwise. No. If you don't make it tonight, it's better. Why? Because the guy working on Shabbos is not our problem. You have no way to stop him. It's his behemoth. He owns it. He truthfully owns it. So there's no way that the Jew can enforce the Shisa behemoth on the guy on Shabbos. See, that's not his responsibility. So what's the issue? This is Schar Shabbos. So if you make this arrangement, you say, listen, you get Shabbos and I'll get Tuesday. So then you made a Schar Shabbos situation. Because by saying that the fact that I'm allowing you to use it on Shabbos, you're going to pay me by letting me use it on Tuesday. So that's it. He's paying you by the use of Tuesday is a payment for Shabbos. It's a Schar Shabbos problem. But if you make no Tanai, so then you're splitting the profits equally. So that's a case of getting the profits of Shabbos. Bahavlo. So what's the problem? So right now the goy is using the animal. It's not called a problem of shisus behemta because you have no way to stop it. But you shouldn't have made such an arrangement. Says you should have made the arrangement. So that itself was considered a novel. But what's happening now on a weekly basis is not your responsibility anymore. You're not over a new avera every time. So that's not the problem. The only problem is a lashon of the problem is Schar Shabbos. So no Tanai makes it better, not worse. The lashon Shulchan Aruch sounds like that Tanai would be that Tanai is better, and the Beis Yosef would say no Tanai is better. So the Mishnah Rabbah, the lashon Shulchan Aruch, Masha Deloy Ratzal Lismachal Zelamaisa. So even though he said that argument that it's not called a problem, she says behemta because the guy is doing it against your will, and the Shulchan Aruch's lashon, he doesn't seem to see that as being true.
Where does it say that? It's better. So the Beis Yosef saying it's better in the sense that there's no question of. Seems like, it doesn't say the Evan, but it almost seems to be.
No, say, the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch sounds like he says. Even though he was masked afterwards, right? Now, if being masked afterwards makes it worse, you don't say, listen, it's also, even though you did it really worse. That's not the language. You're saying, even though you did something which potentially makes it better, it's still also. So the Lashon Shulchan Aruch sounds like making the tonight later on is in some way will alleviate some of the problem, but it's not enough to make it mutter. That's Lashon Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef comes along and says, that's not true. It's the opposite. There's two problems over here. There's Gar Shabbos and the Shishis Behemta. So if I remove the Shishis Behemta argument by saying that the guy is doing it Bal Kerchosh of the Yisrael, and therefore he's not arguing about Shishis Behemta. So the only problem is Gar Shabbos. The only problem is Gar Shabbos, the Tanai is worse, not better. Because by making the Tanai, what he's doing is the guy is working with it on Shabbos and paying the Jew for the fact that he worked with it on Shabbos by giving the Jew a free day during the week. Whereas they make till tonight, so the guard works on Shabbos, and the rest of the week they do equally, so the Jew never got paid for Shabbos. Elamai, what? The Jew's sharing in the profits the goy made on Shabbos? That's Bahavla. They're dividing all the profits of the week. So if you make that argument that there's not a problem with Shisa's Behemta, because the goy is doing about Kerchosh Yisrael, it comes out that the Tanai is going to, if anything, make it worse, not better.
So if the arrangement was that the Jew gets Tuesday and the goy gets Sunday, would we say that the guy is paying the Jew for Tuesday?
The guy is paying the Jew for the guy is paying the no the Jew gets Tuesday. The guy is not paying the
right.
Jew. The guy is paying the Jew for getting Sunday by giving him Tuesday. The guy is getting on Sunday. Let's say your argument, your case, and he's saying, "Listen, the way I'm going to compensate for you for the fact that I get all the work on Sunday is by giving you a day that you get all the work."
I don't follow that because that's their initial agreement that it's.
Okay, stop. The original agreement was if it was the original agreement, we don't have a problem. They're not partners on that day. That was the whole argument. But you kept telling me they didn't make it. That wasn't part of the original agreement.
I understand, but if at any point they say even if so they didn't do this initially, but before the first Shabbos comes along, they say, okay, here's the arrangement from now on. We share it 5 days a week, except I'll take all the profits on Tuesday and you'll take all the profits on Shabbos.
Right, so that's exactly what they're doing. Exactly.
That's the only chayiv is v'chachiva, but the other that's
right. So that's the problem. The problem is that's a Schar Shabbos problem. Because the goy is working it on the Jew owns it on Shabbos. He owns it. We're not dissolving the partnership. And if you make a mitchila, I don't own it on Shabbos. The Jew doesn't own it on Shabbos. But if he owns it on Shabbos, so why is the goy allowed to use the Jew's behema on Shabbos?
No, I'm not asking that. Are we saying that the Mechaber is saying that they're not allowed to modify the agreement before the first Shabbos comes along?
It's not a modification. It's too late.
Yeah, you're saying you can't. They're renegotiating.
Well, we talked last week.
No. You could do that. You could resell it and start over again. But they didn't do that.
Okay.
So they're still shutvin. They're still shutvin. The shutvin was we own this animal with shutvin 7 days a week. That was the shutvin. They have no way to annul that.
Unless they way of what?
Annulling that. Unless they would just they would sell it back and buy it again. All they can do is they can make arrangements on how they're going to use their shutvus. But now it's the Jew's animal on Shabbos. So the goy is using the Jew's animal on Shabbos. He says, so the Jew is saying, listen, you're going to compensate me for using my animal on Shabbos by giving me a day that I use the animal, not you. That we said before that this arrangement was only even to do this chalukah stam, which is what we're doing over here at the end, and therefore there's no problem with Schar Shabbos. We're only matter it, like the Ramah said over here. Hefzegadol, you v'yesh v'tirim v'schar b'diyav v'filo histo b'chol kustam. Right, that was the Ramah said. And you submit on that behefzegadol. Okay, so it means otherwise we're not submit on that. So if they don't mention anything about Shabbos, they just say, you know, let's divide it up equally. Even that, the Maisa, so the guy worked with it solely on Shabbos, and Pashas, he's compensating by giving the Jew something in return. They didn't mention anything about it. B'chokastam, it's mutter b'hefzad gadol. Okay, so what's the solution?
What's hefzad gadol? This is just a moment. If we don't allow them to do this retroactively, the Jew is earning over Shabbos. That's a hefzad gadol, as far as I'm concerned.
Again, we're going right now. He's saying if we're going to accept the argument of the Beis Yosef, there's no problem. She says behemta. The only problem is Schar Shabbos. So even the Schar Shabbos problem is only mutter. This solution of doing it perhaps bechol kustam is mutter b'makom hefzad gadol. But we're not talking about this. We're going on to Beis Yosef right now. There's no problem. She says behemta. He's saying even if you'll accept, I feel if he does the Beis Yosef, there's no problem. She says behemta. So then we've solved that problem. So we have the other problem of the Schar Shabbos issue. So that's only mutter. The solution of Chalukas Stam is mutter behefzad gadol. You're right. If you hold it, she's a behemta problem. So that the even behefzad gadol is not mutter, right? It's you can't have the animal doing that. You can't have the animal working. So the other solution was that what you should do is sell it to the goy. You make an evaluation when it's worth right now. And whatever happens afterwards, it goes up or down, that's the goy's responsibility. So it's a sale. Now it's his animal. It goes up in value, he gained. It goes down in value, it's his problem. They're not shutven anymore, so they're not sharing the gains or the losses of the value of the animal. Okay, so now, from this vantage point of right now, the first approach, the Chai Shalom is on the Yehudi, so that's mutter. Assuming that the goy can then go and sell it. According to the opinion that you have to be able to sell it. If you hold, then even if the guy can't sell it. So how are you going to do that? So that you're going to do, sheyisko hotzi magilei b'milva, margam kein shehilva yisalo nihuri b'somer somadamin. So they lent it to the guy, and they did this evaluation, how much it's worth, b'chanal. And then they made the guy owe the money, the value of the purchase, the guy owes to the Jew. Again, so normally it only works if he can't sell it. If he could sell it. And here he can't sell it. But why can't they sell it? Because they made an apoitiki. That doesn't change that doesn't make it worse. Because since mitzad the sale, he has a right to sell it, even though he now has a chayv momen. And for the chayv momen, he made this as the payment. So he can't sell it. But based on the sale, it don't belong to him totally. And he could have sold it. So therefore, it's called, it was mishus of the goy totally, and it's not a problem of shisus behemta. Right, so take a look over here in the Shared Sea in Lamed Beis. He points this out. So the Beis Yosef cost of the day of Asik and Matir Mele Yosef Dalad, which cost of a grow.
Why can't the
great? Abel Mishal and Melech, Vel Yerab, and Tosir Shabbos cost of the Filo Ha'oisim Shom, Moedah the Shom. Even if over there they say it's no good, over here it works. Why? The Hosim, in the Rishus Lamachra, Machashi Be'em Yisrael Adayin. If I truly sold it to the Goy, why can't the Goy sell it to somebody else? Oh, because I didn't really sell it to the Goy. Right, so that's a right. The sale was a limited sale. So really, it belongs to the goy. Mitzad the mechira, I sold to the goy. The goy can sell it. I have a different problem. He owes me money, and I made an arrangement that the payment for the money is X, and X happens to be the behemoth, and therefore you can't sell the behemoth because you need to pay me. But not because mitzad the mechira, you had no right to sell it. So it's not a limitation in the original mechira. So that's the chap over here. It's gishmak chap. Yaharane metzloi pirish alva vishenichem b'yad yisraelim lemashke. Shiyu yochol yipara mehen shelo yitin moz avurom. So the goy gave it to the Jew as a mashkel. That if the goy doesn't pay, the Jew will collect from this animal. And the goy takes it back and works with it. It's the goy's behemoth, which the goy is working with, which the Jew has a right as a mashkel. He shouldn't say me action. I know a feeling. Remember, like, in letter the chamos, this man point a year shall chah. Even if he adds, if I don't pay you by such another time, it'll be your animal. Then, kimel armel me action of year shall chah. Like, can I be sold in my freya? Because he friend of an yuri. If he didn't say me action when he said this arrangement, so when it happens in the future, it happens then in the future. It doesn't work retroactively. Bein lo elam atu rak shivin bel. Okay, then there's the Yesh Matir, which says, "I'm going to Yazi Yisrael Zayin Yehudi." That the Jew tells the guy, "Don't do any work with it, and if you do, you'll get all the cries." Alpha Pish Ain Lo Zayin Yehudi Rishus Machra. For the Hachi Yeshor, he said, "Not the Chorba, but the guy can't sell it." So how's it mutter? Here it is. The Sasa is there because that's the Matir Leil B'Siftalad. That according to the opinion which says before Siftalad, that if, even if you can't sell it, as long as the guy has all the cries, it's good enough. So we're going like that Shita. So Shodor mentions Oinsim, but the Mishabur says it also means Yikr Bezula as well. And then he brings over here, that's the Gra. Fine.
What about Oinsim and Yikr Bezula?
Shulchan Aruch mentions Oinsim, the Goy has a Christ of Oinsim. And the Mishabur says it's not enough the Goy has a Christ of Oinsim, he also has to have a Christ of Yikr Bezula, like we said before in Siftal. So the Goy has all the Christ, Yikr Bezula, so it goes up in value, the Goy benefits. Because out of value, the Goy has to fill in the difference. All this happens, it's the Goy's problem. So in all ways, he's functioning like an owner, just he can't sell it. So the first opinion said, that's good enough. Okay. V'yitu came, but for some milsa shalayav l'idei chashad, and then you have to write this, document this in the Goyish Accords to take care of the chashad issue.
Okay. Write this document in the Goyish Accords?
Yeah.
Take care of what?
So to make it more public. Fine. Now, so Baruch mentioned yesterday, so, you know, theoretically what we're doing is, you know, what would we do if every Erev Shabbos we do a mechira to the Goy, right? Right at Peshtar, that, you know, Shabbos is belongs to the, we sell it to him now. Not Shutrin, you know, the Yisrael goes to his neighbor, the Goy, he said, listen, let's make a deal that, you know, I'm selling my animal on Shabbos, and then the Goy will work on Shabbos, everything is wonderful. So they seem to be, it was a practice which was accepted. The question, why isn't Rav Marasayin? The answer is, like you said, once it became normalized that this is what people do, so there's no problem Marasayin. So that's what the Marasham says. It takes away the problem of chashad. A similar idea we had before, that something which a rabbim does, there's no problem with chashad. The Mishabura mentioned that a day before. So if everybody in the town is doing this, there's no chashad anymore.
Isn't that similar to the many years ago when you used to have power of a milk and it was a new thing? They'd make sure that the caterers always served it in the original containers, that you should know. But after a while, there was no need for it, because everybody knew such a thing as power of a milk. So now the caterers could put it in a fancy pitcher. Is that similar to that?
Correct. So, you know, the source of that is a rush. The rush is a Mishnah in Klayim. So this Klayim, which says that apparently there was a type of silk which looked like linen. Nice. And they would mix a garment of wool and silk. It was also because of Marasayin. The rush on that says, the rush at Hichel's Klayim, which is in Masechta Znida, the back of Masechta Znida, the rush says over there that only was Bisman Chazal were meshi, which was silk, was very uncommon.
Right.
And therefore they assumed that it must be linen. But nowadays that meshi has become much more common, to the point that people realize that it's silk, there's no marasad anymore, and it's mutter. That's the rush. Mm-hmm. And that rush is the source of this idea of the things nowadays which are, once they normalize and become common, so there's no problem with marasad anymore.
What about silk?
You mix wool garments with silk. It looks like, if you don't know what's... You ever saw silk in your life, it looks like linen. So it looks like you're mixing wool and linen. Right. So the Mishnah says you can't do that.
It doesn't look the same to you?
Okay. Your linens weren't kosher enough, that's right. Okay.
Maybe the soap looked not so good.
Okay. Hilchos Inyan, Olam and
Aleph. I can't see the comparison either, to be honest.
Well, you're Torah B'chol HaTeirim. Shiyadu Oysom Loi B'chol B'mechir Gemura. So the best solution is that you should do a full bona fide sale. Either to this guy who was working with it or a different guy. And so this is our pace of the good thing. Reifgab is a down payment. And then the rest of the money is a choyv. He owes the money, right? So the guy is buying the behemoth. He gives you $10, so he owes the rest of the money, the $1,000. He owes you $990. Now the Jew is worried. The guy says, "Great, it's my animal. Let's go kill it and eat it." You know, "Oh, I owe you the money. I don't have any money to pay you." Great, you know. Or the guy will sell it to somebody else. So the eight is we make it an apoytiki, which the guy says if he can't not able to pay, this behemoth will be the source of the payment of the choyv.
What happens if he's working that animal and it dies? Does he get his money back? And the animal is on a paytiki on a loan, and the animal, he's working it and just drops dead. What happens then? How does that work?
He still owes the money.
Well, obviously,
right? But
I'm saying, so then what?
But he doesn't have a din of a shoyach who's chayav anointsim. In other words, you won't have the parasha of the chiyuvim of a renter, mm-hmm. because not a renter, he's a purchaser, he owns it, right? So you can't the only
renter,
right? So you can't come from that angle. The only angle you can come from is that he owes you the money.
What, the money for the purchase?
Right. Correct. It says you should do it in front of the owner here. Kadesha Yasa Kadin Matar, make sure that you do the sale properly. By doing that, you're also going to create, like the going to the Goyish court. You go to the Bezdin, that's going to create the Pirsim, so it'll take away the Marasinish. Okay. So the.
So what he gives him is a down payment on the animal. He doesn't have to pay him for the whole animal.
Right. The guy doesn't have the money to pay for the whole animal, right?
Right. So he's and then he owes, and then the animal is almost like a mashkin.
Correct. And poitiki is a form. It's similar to a mashkin. The difference is you don't have to actually.
It's a secured loan, in essence. That's what it is.
Right.
It's a secured loan.
Right.
And the security is the animal. Which sounds more and more similar to selling chametz on Pesach. Isn't that
right?
Because the guy doesn't give you the whole money. He gives you like a deposit, right? When the guy buys the chametz,
he gives a deposit.
Yeah, he gives a deposit. Same.
Exactly.
That's logic.
That's exactly what he's saying. Correct. Okay.
The guy gives you a deposit.
When you sell the chametz, the guy doesn't pay. I once sat by Mechiras Chametz of, it was Reb David Cohn, Reb Hillel Cohn, Reb Hillel David, and three other Rabbanim, six Rabbanim from Flatbush were selling to the same guy together. Now the amount of, all of the stores, the Yiddish stores in Flatbush, plus all of the Yidden who have brandy and whiskey, etc., were all selling to this one guy. He was probably buying a few $1,000,000 worth of Chametz. He gave $5. I mean, like, you know, the whole thing, he's not giving $3 million, he's giving $5, you know.
So that's his deposit on it.
That's his deposit.
So theoretically, if he says at the end of Pesach, I don't want to sell it back, then he owes all that money.
Correct.
Is that in the contract too, that if he doesn't want to pay it back, if he doesn't want to sell, you know, give it back to the Jews, that he owes X number of dollars, or that's not part of the contract?
No, they don't necessarily put a number.
Oh.
But they say the remainder of the money is due at this and this time. And uh-huh. He has a choice either to pay it or to make other arrangements.
Uh-huh.
And then usually you write in, and the value will be evaluated by this and this time, by this and these, you know, you would usually, to make it clear, you say, they're agreeing up front of who will be the ones who will making the evaluation of how much is worth.
And the guy understands all this? It's amazing.
You try to get somebody who's intelligent enough to follow it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so now, so you can do anyone you want. Furthermore, even if it's totally the Jew's animal, there was not a shutvah's case, you can use some of these approaches. And after the Kabbalah of Christ, the Chud, Shekosim, Mecharba, the Sefer, the Word of Rahani Gambazer, after the end of the Rishus, the Yehudim, and the Machra. So we're saying all these approaches work, means we're saying the approach of giving the guy all the chayas works. Either guy can't sell it, so it means you're being soysim like the opinion before, and Siddal, that works. Kim the medicine of Shusa, Linyan Yukamsula, Sosim, Zekadas, Yesh Matir, and Siddal. But we hear Satoim, she asked the Machira, Gemurah, Kanavas, if Katan Lam and Aleph. This is not the greatest idea of using the chayas concept. Do a sale. Kadei Losis, Mazagam, Dasim, Achmir, Misham, Kid, Reim, Yesh, Mazakhashash, Deraisa. Like any of these projects, they're not all available to do. And the chasatchak, going mishigesh loisodas, we have shalach haskir berises and yehuda imlo yitanoi gam shvorim lachesh behem. So you need to get a sharecropper where the goy says, "I need animals to work with." Lo yuchlu lamano shloi lachesh beshabbos. You have no way to stop the goy from plowing with that animal on Shabbos. Yesh lismachol dasapach shemata yirei sheyafkir b'fnei shloisha kadam beshabbos. The Eitza is do Hefker. Before Shem Adabra, below Yom HaDei Cheshad. If Hefker Tzarek Liyas, B'leib Sholem, it has to be true. Aba B'loi Shas Adchak, Ein Lisruch Ala Hefker, K'mo Shek Kasab, N'leib Ben Shabur, So Katan Yudala, became Hizkim, M'darki Mershe, B'hedjim.
Why don't we say, you don't tell the Goy about this. Why don't we say that's not a true Hefker? Because I don't want the Goy to know, though, because he might actually take it, or will take it.
Well, as long as I publicize it, by many Jews know about it, so it's...
But who's
going to
take it on Shabbos?
Okay, it's a practical issue. So now then he says, even if there was a case that belonged totally to the Jew, it's no worse than if it had been a shit to start with. He calls that Kushamas, Mirloi, Mashilah, Lazim, Lachos, Atzma. Lazim, Lachos, Yisrael, Bashabbos, and Heterklau. This is all talking about the guy is working for himself. But he's working for the animal, for the Jew. Feeling Markalai Behemoth Bechira Gemura Shrek, we call them welcome Oisi Any Hudi Malechas Yisrael Bishabbos Bishiloi. The guy is working for the Jew. So that's now the other problem. Fizem and Susim Husha Yisrael. It's the Jew's horse, and the guy's job is to do all the work that the Jew needs. It had to be Mechira Susim. You can't sell the horse to him. The Rei Asherlo Laniak Lasses Malachtoi. Okay, who muskuloi rak the malacha zu lisa imasusim mahalakloi skar b'chol eishi tarach b'shana zu. Also, the Rambam comes across the simanish medal says, "Hey, if I hire him as a job, he becomes a kavlan. His kavlan is to deliver all my things over the year." You're selling it. The people know it belongs. It was the Jew's animal. They think that it's for the Jew. No way. Fine. So the goy, who's in charge of the town, the duke, says, "I would like to borrow your animal." Well, you don't want to say no to that guy. If you do that, he's going to hate you, and that's not going to be very healthy. You can have a dover muet, try and sell it to him. He goes, "I want to borrow it." So no, I'll sell it to you. So I'll give it back to the money. So no, that's your business, right? If the guy gives it back, but it's much better that you should sell it to him, and if you can get them to agree to that, and if not, well, it might be matter also. So comes to foshes. That's a different head.